You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
State Rep. Josh Elliott. It's going to get up into the upper 60s, low 70s and sunny, but it is still pretty cool. Tomorrow, not too bad. Partly sunny, some clouds in the 70s. Wednesday, you might get some showers. Same with Thursday and Friday, and by Friday it might get up to 80 degrees. Josh Elliott represents the 88th district. Remind me the towns again.
Hamden, just Hamden, only Hamden.
That's it, just Hamden.
Just the Hamden.
You rule Hamden with an iron fist.
Well, not quite.
Thanks for coming back. It's good to check in every couple of months.
Same.
And we try to get all different voices, Republican, Democrat. You consider yourself more on the progressive side of the Democratic caucus,
that's
correct?
Right.
And you know, I watched you with Dennis House and Stephen Harding yesterday on
good
Channel
guy.
8. I'm trying to, Harding?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to get, that's the way politics should be. Even if you don't agree, you should be able
We're BSing off the screen. We have a good relationship. I have a good relationship with most of the people in the Republican caucus.
But you guys totally have different views on what to do. And, you know, your wish list, this is what struck me, your wish list was to spend money.
Well.
That's what you said.
That's true. That's true.
That's true. And I think that's the crux of what's going on is there's concern about the future. There's a lot of money at present, and there's a lot of things you can do. You can use that money just to spend more money and to do what you think is more good for people of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
You can hold that money and use it to fill in the gaps that you might have with less federal spending. Or, you know, people can also, by the way, you can cut taxes. If you're taking in that much money and they have that much excess money, you could just cut taxes. But you actually want to do the opposite.
One thing you missed, though. We have to pay down legacy costs.
Correct.
Pension obligations.
Correct. But
which is primarily what we have been doing, by the way.
Correct.
I mean, we have almost $2 billion of revenue that we weren't expecting that are coming in this year that normally would be going down to pay our pensions. But now, this year specifically, we're going to put off to the side. We're not going to spend it. We're not going to have it pay down pensions. We're just going to sort of hold it and wait to see what's happening with the federal
government.
Is that
definitely going to be what happens?
Not definitely,
because that's what you want to do.
Like, no, this is not a Josh thing. This is a speaker and
Ritter.
A governor.
No, the governor might not want it either. But just explain to people, because this is not a fait accompli. You talked as if it was done.
That's right.
There is a movement within the Democratic caucus to put a big chunk of the surplus aside, mm-hmm. not spend it,
mm-hmm.
and wait to see what, say, Medicaid shortfalls there are,
mm-hmm.
and then use that money. Now, do they have to change the guardrails to do that, or can they just do that?
I think that there's going to be some tweaking, essentially.
Okay.
But I think the reason the governor hasn't said publicly that he's okay with this, I mean, there's certainly conversations that are going. I think what's important to him is that we don't just spend it, and so we won't be spending it. It really will just be off to the side, and if we don't need it to fill in shortfalls because of federal spending, then it will go towards paying down pensions,
right.
which is what it was slated for anyway.
So, since you brought this up, because the previous point I was going to say, just because you have the excess money, I mean, there's no mandate to bring in more revenue than you need so you can pay down that debt. Just when it happens that you have surpluses, it should go toward that.
That's
right?
The volatility cap.
Right.
That's
but my
correct.
Point is like, there's no, we don't have, what the effort is not to try to get to be in a surplus all the time to do that. It's just when you do have it. But back to that 700 million or whatever bucket that might happen, you mm-hmm. are not in favor of that.
I'm neutral. I think it's a good enough idea. I mean, one thing that we're going to be doing is looking at the guardrails. So, for example, we haven't been taking into account the cost of electricity, the cost of utilities. We don't take into account the cost of food. And because of that, the way the volatility cap goes up is much slower than it normally would be. So we're making small tweaks like that just to make sure that we aren't overly constraining ourselves. So the changes we're making are minor enough where, again, I think we have some light governor buy-in until we see what the final budget's going to be. It's really hard to say what he will and will not do, but we are making very small tweaks this year.
To the guardrails. To free up a little bit more money. When you say tweak, what does that mean? So you're going to change the number that you can spin off of the volatility cap?
So the volatility cap will go up by a very small amount. The spending cap will go up by a very small amount. Revenue cap will stay the same. And, of course, the bond cap is going to stay as it was. I mean, that was really just for a couple years, and we're not going to be doing it consistently. There is a lot of talk about these bond contracts being unconstitutional. So I think that's over the next year or so, a conversation we're going to have more of, because there's this thought that due to the contract, we can't change the laws, but that is very much not in line with us as a legislature being able to do our work. There's a general consensus that a current legislature can't bind the hands of a future legislature, and for that reason, we are going to tackle this issue of constitutionality, but that's for maybe a future show.
Yeah, I was
going
to say that makes my head spin. Yeah, I don't quite understand all of it, but so we'll put a pin in that, and I'll be glad to do it.
Yes.
Representative Josh Elliott joining us here on Brian and Company. I've asked this question to a couple people, and I don't know Matt Ritter well.
Okay.
I know him. We've had great interviews. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very talented guy. He's a very powerful man in the state mm-hmm. now. Is there tension between him and Lamont?
And Lamont, no. I mean, their jobs are very different.
But it seems like Ritter's trying to show him that I, Matt Ritter, have a lot of leverage.
Well, Lamont's a one-man show. Ritter has to navigate 102 personalities, let alone the Republicans.
Right.
So because, 101. There's 102 of us total for Democrats in the House caucus. And so for that reason, some of these things, yes, are things that our speaker wants to do, but also he has to sort of figure out what is that middle path of the caucus and represent that. So when you say he has leverage, sure, but he has leverage because the 101 of us give him leverage in the House.
Right. That's what I've been told, is that, you know, people think he just has this monolith and he can override a veto or what have you, but
no.
The progressive side of the party, he, like you and your colleagues that are a little on the left of that spectrum, you're the ones that he needs to sort of work with.
Both. He needs both of us. He needs all of us. I mean, there's 102 Democrats. You need 101 for supermajority.
Right.
101 is that veto. So you actually can't even lose one Democrat, because then you flip. So that's the problem right now, is that he needs to ensure that there's, if he's going for a simple majority of that 76, then he's going to need the governor. So there's no talk of a governor override. You're not going to get all of us to agree on the same thing that the governor doesn't agree on. Because there's about 20-25 moderate members of the caucus that on any given issue are probably going to be with the governor on.
Gotcha. We're talking with Josh Elliott, again, rep from the 88th District here on Brian and Company. You know, when it comes to, if we have a surplus, and again, we don't know what the following years are going to look like. Maybe there's a recession.
That's right.
We don't know. But you actually want to increase taxes on the wealthy, correct?
Well, over the last 8 years since the 2017 budget, we have had an additional $1.3 billion per year coming in that we didn't expect, that we haven't been able to spend. I think that's fine, because we do still have about $40 billion worth of our pensions to pay down. My perspective always comes back to this tax incidence study, just showing that the more money you make in our state, the less you pay as a percentage of your income. A lot of that is due to the property tax. CCM, they're the organization that represents municipalities, they've been talking a lot about this as well. There needs to be way more support for our municipalities. counties. And the only way we're going to get that is by getting it from the state. And the only way we get it from the state is by asking someone to pay for it. And my perspective is, if the wealthy are already not paying a commensurate percentage as the middle class and working poor, then they're the ones that got to chip in more.
And you, I mean, obviously, like, and again, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm unaffiliated.
A card-carrying unaffiliated.
I am, and I vote split ticket all the time. But I will say, I feel like tax increases are a hard sell right now. I mean, is that something that actually has a practical...
But what do you mean right now? When are tax increases an easy sell? Well, when do people want tax increases?
I think it's
an
especially difficult sell when you have surpluses. You already have extra money.
Yeah.
So...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The justification for increasing revenue through taxation is an even tougher sell when people are like, you just told me yourself you had 1. blah, blah, blah,
so the
billion
tax increase,
extra money.
The tax increase we're talking about are for people who make $1 million or more.
Right, but that doesn't mean just because they have more. I mean, again, I'm going into so much debt to pay for college. I'm not talking my own book, but that just
right. But that's sort of the point, is that this would help you.
Yeah, but I'm not looking for help from somebody else to help me. I just would want to help myself.
Yeah, but the way that our tax system works already punishes you. So this is just to say that it punishes you less.
See, I agree the middle class gets hosed.
This is how we fix it.
Okay. I just think it's, I'm not even saying that I'm against it. I'm saying I don't find the unaffiliateds in some ways really can carry the day on a lot of issues.
They do carry the day.
And this is a tough sell.
Yes.
More than usual. When you're telling me there's all this extra money, but yet you want to raise more money by taxing the wealthy.
So here's what I would say. I personally would be comfortable if we took a chunk of that additional revenue that was falling under the volatility cap and put that into some programming. And I think a lot of this money that's coming in under the volatility cap is not volatile revenue.
Right.
So I would be perfectly comfortable right now, because I do agree with you. Given the fact that there are incredible legacy costs here, and it's going to take a couple decades to get out of this, I do see there's a benefit to being even-handed. That said, we aren't able to touch that money.
Yeah, and so for the layperson, you're saying instead of taking all that money and putting to pay down pension,
that $1.3 billion,
take some of it and use it for the operating
half
budget.
$1 billion towards exactly, because we had already worked out a deal to get ourselves out of this pension hole, and that doesn't even take into account that $1.3 billion.
We're still with Josh Elliott, state rep from the 88th district. I'm curious for people. Let's just take a step back for a second. The session ends
June. I want to say sixth or eighth. I think it's sixth.
So you got roughly a month. A little less than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming, just because I don't think the federal budget issue is going to be all known by the time you adjourn. You'll probably come back for a special session for the budget. But
we're thinking October, most likely.
So that's definitely, that'll definitely.
Not definitely, but we're all pretty sure.
What are the next 4 weeks like?
they're pretty intense. We're up there anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week. And when we're there, we can be there until 6. We can be there until 2 in the morning. We can be there until 7 the next morning. Just depends on what we're putting up on the board, how toxic it is to the other side. I would say, generally speaking, the speaker does a pretty good job of working with the minority leader, Vin Candelora, to make sure that we, if we start at 10, we'll try to be done by 6. We start at noon, try to be done by 8. Try to have it be like a work day. But sometimes you just don't know, because basically what he says is, we want to get these things done. How long it takes is really up to you guys. So we're getting these things done. If we stay till 2, we'll stay till 2. If we stay till 6, we'll stay till 6. And his promise is basically, I'm not going to put anything additional up on the board,
right,
or anything that you guys are really going to hate.
Now, is the committee work done?
Committee work is predominantly done. The only committee work left is if, let's say, it turns out that an amendment on this bill now all of a sudden creates a penalty. Well, boom, now Judiciary has to make sure it goes through them. So they wouldn't have like a full committee meeting. What they would do is either before session or, for example, in about an hour, there is a Judiciary meeting, and we'll be getting some about 15 or 20 bills through that touch on Judiciary. So there's still referrals right now, but the main chunk of the committee work is done.
Okay, so that means basically debate, vote. Debate, vote, debate, vote.
Yeah, it's not really. I mean, there is debate, and certainly if there are things that people hate, then it could be filibuster, just like it could be on the floor. For the most part, it's pretty quick, because I think people are like, all right, we're done with the committee process. These things are pretty much pro forma at this point. So yes, debate, vote, done.
Right. Yeah, because there was some, we had Steve Weir on about, you know, talking about the warehouse bill, and he knew it would pass, but he wanted to take time to speak his mind.
Yes.
And he did.
Long debate.
Yeah.
Long debate.
And that he did. We're talking with Josh Elliott here, state rep for the 88th District, because it's challenging, because I don't know how much flexibility you have with your regular business, but like, what's the percentage you think of people have full-time jobs outside of the legislature?
Oh, it's a vast majority. I can think of a few people that don't have an outside job. Of course, if you're retired, that puts you in a specific class.
Right.
But I would say, for the most part, everybody has a second job. The base pay is $40,000. It was $28,000. We gave ourselves a raise for the first time in about 20 years, a few years ago. And if you're a chair, if you have a title like deputy speaker, like I do, or if you are a speaker, then you do get additional money. I think it's like $5,000. It's not a whole ton more. You get gas mileage, but it's very much a part-time job. But even though it's technically part-time in title, the amount of time it actually takes of your day, of your week, can be almost all of it if you let it be.
Is it stressful this time of year, or is people are pretty well versed on how to manage?
I think it depends on your role. I think it depends on how long you've been in there for. I am busier than I ever have been. I am the chair of screening for the speaker. I'm caucus co-chair as well. I'll be taking out the union deals. So there's a lot on my plate. But in terms of stress, I love the work. I think there are some people who are just drowning in it. I certainly know, like, if you're chair of appropriations or chair of finance, you're just every day meetings back to back to back to back to back as you're figuring out the budget. So it's a little bit different for everybody. If you're rank and file, there's really not much to do. Either everything is dead, or you're working on that one bill, or your bill's passed and you're really just sort of floating. So there's a pretty wide spectrum.
Huh. It seems like there's not a ton of rank and file, though, right? I mean, it seems like everyone's got some sort of role.
Maybe instead of rank and file, what I should say is that you're new. When you're in the first couple of terms, it takes a while to build those relationships, to really know the process, to get the flow. And right now, for anybody who's new, got elected last November, this is their first session.
Right.
So everything that's happening is new. So getting a sense of what's happening is can be difficult.
We're talking with Josh Elliott, state rep in the 88th. With the parlor game you and I play every time we see each other, what is your sense as of now? He says he's going to announce whether he's going to run for a third term at the end of the session. I feel like because of the federal budget crap, he might punt a little bit. But what is your sense, or can you tell me what the buzz is about Governor Lamont?
Let's flip that coin.
What do you think?
I think the first couple times I was on here, I said that he definitely wasn't going to run. I think the next couple times I said he definitely was going to run. So I don't know, man. My gut tells me probably, but that's it. Gut tells me probably.
So we're in the probably camp now.
55-45.
55. Okay. That's closer to even than, I mean, I was personally like, I'm with you. Yeah. I was like, definitely, definitely, definitely. And now I just feel like the tension over this budget stuff is real. And I think he's...
Well, here's what I would say about that, too. He definitely has put layers between himself and most of the legislature. So it's not like he's in these meetings day in, day out.
Right.
It's his staff that really knows what his positions are that are doing a lot of this negotiating. Now, that's not to say that if it comes down to it that there's an impasse, that the speaker, the president pro tem, and the governor don't get together. Of course they do. They have to. But a lot of the minutiae, which is really the majority of the budget, really comes down to staff and the higher ranking members of the legislature.
Anything else you want people to know?
No, that's it. We're almost done. And I mean, really, the thing I want to impress upon people is that the culture in Connecticut, the political culture, is good. I mean, certainly Vin will go on and slam us and Matt will get defensive. But when it comes down to it, you know, I was talking to Steve Weir just last week. We were in the hallway. We're just BSing. When I was on with Fazio, on with Harding, they're good guys. We all get along with each other. Obviously, we disagree on where the state government should go, but not to the point
and they'd
where
say the same thing.
They've said it to me. I hope they would. I mean, who knows? Probably. Yeah. I think so.
I'd like to. I mean, personally, I'd like to see a little more competitive government. But
same. I'm right there with you.
But you know, we'll see.
I agree.
It's always great to catch up with you. Yeah. I appreciate the time, Josh. Really do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Josh Elliott, state rep from the 88th district here on Bryan and Company.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.